Thanks for joining the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform and encourage those who love kids and serve in kids and family ministry. Let's join in today's episode. And welcome to another edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. My name's Tom Bump, and I'm your host. And hey, I've got a question for you. How many of you are visual learners? I know you're saying, Tom, hey, we're listening to you right now. We can't see you. And that's a good thing, probably. Maybe someday we'll bring the video back. But right now, I don't want to jar you. So I get it. But you know what? If you're like me, you like to see things. You like to touch things. You like to use your senses, not just listen. And you know what? Kids are a lot like that, too. And one of the things that I know is I love object lessons. And so this episode is going to be an awesome episode because we're going to talk about a great resource that we want to get into your hands. And trust me, like I say, you're going to want it. You know, I used to do breakouts at conferences, and I know how and why and using object lessons are so important. And my guest today loves that idea, too. And so she's been writing some books about object lessons and other things too, and they are fantastic. And so Anne Marie Gosnell, welcome back to the KMC. It's so good to have you back on here.
Thank you. This is always fun. I love talking about this stuff.
Well, cool. This makes book number 5, right?
Yes. Yes, yeah. This is book number 5 is book number 3 curriculum wise of object lessons. And then I have my children's book and then my prayer book. So, yes, I'm the crazy lady who's written 5 books in 3 years. But that's what God does on our adventures of life, right?
That is so true. That's so true. Well, hey, before we get too far into on the book, tell people about yourself and what do you do? Are you a full-time author? What all do you have under your umbrella right now?
Well, first and foremost, I'm a wife and a mom. I homeschool my 3 children. My son is 12, and then I have 2 girls, 10 and 8. And so we usually do school most of the time in the mornings, and then in the afternoons I get to put on my children's ministry author hat. And so that's when I start working on Future Flying Saucers or writing my next book or social media fun stuff like that. And so I also, I've gotten back into, just to give you a little bit about my background, I have taught in private school, public school, and Christian schools, and then at my local church for about 7 years, I was a WANA commander, and then also the Bible teacher for the WANA program. And from those times of getting to teach the Bible to these kids, that's where Future Flying Saucers was born, because all of the lessons that I designed, I had people tell me that you know, hey, you should get these out for other people to use, whether it's, you know, moms and dads who want to do Bible time in their homes for discipleship, or other church leaders, church volunteers who wanted some supplementary type object lessons. And so it was through my local church ministry that I then branched into this whole online world of Future Flying Saucers. And then from there, the Lord took me into publishing these books.
All right.
And I actually have one more object lesson book I'm actually in the middle of. So be on the lookout for another one. And, so it's just interesting to see what the Lord does when you know, he gives all of us different gifts, giftings, and abilities. And when you really just lay them at his feet, God will do some amazing things with you if you allow him. Now, you know, it hasn't been all rainbows and unicorns, I like to say, but you know, it's when we are serving the Lord, you know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Just love that I get to use object lessons, and now I'm training other teachers to use object lessons, and that's just amazingly wonderful.
And this new book's called Victory in Jesus. Why? Tell me, I mean, the passion to write books that are object lesson books. You kind of started to touch on that just a little bit, but tell me a little bit more about, you know, you started getting the interest in, from doing it in Awana, and you know, that's so cool. But what inspired you to really write the object lesson series?
Well, when I was teaching back in the olden days of my life, I taught in Christian school. And in a Christian school, you know, you teach the scriptures, you teach the Bible as part of the curriculum. And so I would go from my Christian school kids, and then I would go to my local church, and I would see that the kids at my local church did not have nearly the amount of biblical literacy, biblical knowledge, as my Christian school kids did. And I really thought that was a disconnect, because in my brain, the church, I mean, if you're going to have programs at church that teach children, it seems like, you know, that's the place to do it. It should be a really good program.
Right.
It shouldn't be coming through a Christian school, although that's great. But it's like the church should be like the number one place where Christian education should be happening.
Yes.
And so when I had the opportunity to take over the Bible teaching part of the Awana program, but God kind of took that seed that he planted in my brain, you know, years before. He gave me that disconnect, and then I was able to then take what I had done in Christian school and now translate it sort of and make it fit into church education. And so therefore, when I was creating my Bible lessons, they evolved into these object lessons, and they're also chronology of the Bible. And I also believe in doing cyclical teaching. So we go from Genesis all the way through Acts. And then if you think about it, you know, I taught kids kindergarten through sixth grade. So my kindergarten kids are in a different part of life than my third graders. My third graders are in a different part than my sixth graders. And they're all in different spiritual mentalities, maturities. And so you can teach a lesson to a kindergartner and then come right back around and teach the same lesson 3 or 4 years later, and they're going to get a different spiritual truth taught to them.
Right. Sure.
Because the Holy Spirit, I mean, think about it in our own Bible study. How many times have we read the same scripture over and over again, and yet God shows us a new truth?
Oh, man. Yes.
Yeah. That's you know, and it's the same thing for kids. And kids need repetition.
Oh, yeah.
They need to see that that God and Jesus and sin and sanctification, all this type of stuff is applicable to their lives. Then. So they need to know as a first grader that it's good for them, as a fourth grader, and then they need to hear it again, sixth grade and eighth grade through high school. They've got to keep hearing it. And so that's why I always teach in a chronological manner and in a cyclical manner.
Uh-huh.
So from that mindset, I created these object lessons. And so once, you know, Victory in Jesus is my third one. It's the third one I published. I have my Old Testament object lessons. And then I have Victory in Jesus, which is my Gospels. And then I'm working on the one that's the book of Acts.
Okay.
And then my other one, the very first one that I published was Walk This Way. And it's Ethics and Sanctification object lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And so you take those four books and you cycle through them. And even if you're doing the same object lesson, even as a teacher, you're in a different spiritual maturity, you know, at a different place. And so, you know, 4 years later, if you teach the same lesson, you're going to like, oh, I can add in this truth, or I could tweak this to do this. And my kids need to hear this. And so it's not it's not boring to revisit those same object lessons. Instead, it's the repetition of truth that our kids need to hear.
Yes, that is spot on, because I think a lot of leaders miss out on the opportunities to get that kind of those kind of concepts across. And and so I'm really excited about what you're doing and your strategy behind this, that you're not just simply writing object lesson books to throw something creative out there, but you've got such a strategy behind this that I'm really excited to get behind and support, because I see the value, you know, being a fellow kids pastor and kids worker, that's important. And then even to look at this as, I mean, this is bigger than just, you know, using in a church. I mean, there's homeschool families, obviously you're using, probably using these same concepts with your kids and the same kind of teaching at home that a homeschool family. So this is a resource that as kids workers, we should be thinking about finding ways to get it into parents' hands if they are homeschooling. This can be a solid Bible teaching time, that you can really implement, but even all the other parents out there could grab these books and use them at home.
Absolutely.
You know, because of how you write them and do that.
Yeah. I am amazed at the creativity of my readers. I definitely have homeschool families who use them. I have church leaders who use them for Sunday school, Awana, summer camps, you know, what have you. But then I also have people who have used my lessons for American Heritage Girls. Yeah, I've had, I don't know if you're familiar with the public schools here in South Carolina have a pullout program where if the kids sign up for a class, they can sign up for a Bible class. And so those kids are pulled out, and I've had my lessons used as their curriculum. So these are public school kids getting, you know, solid Bible teaching. And so it's just so amazing to see what parents have used these for. It's just been so fun. I love getting emails from my readers telling me what creative things they've done.
Because, yeah, you're right. You know, I mean, and that's what we want, is we want people to take a look at these resources and like I say, get them into others' hands and show them around, use them in your church, but also encourage other families to use it. But let me ask the big why question. Why should a leader consider even using object lessons to teach? Because why can't we just lecture people? Why can't we just, you know, show them videos? You know, why use object lessons?
Well, I actually have a session that I teach at conferences. I won't go into all of it here, obviously, but I truly believe that as a Bible teacher, and in my brain, anybody who teaches the Bible to someone is a Bible teacher, whether it's kids, adults, special needs, what have you. You know, if you're teaching the Bible to someone, please consider yourself a Bible teacher. And I really think as Bible teachers, you know, scripture tells us we're supposed to be walking this road of sanctification through transformation into the image of Jesus. And so as a Bible teacher, I want to teach like the master teacher. And of course, the master teacher was Jesus. And I hate to tell people this, but, you know, Jesus didn't have a TV and videos when he taught people. You know, he used object lessons and parables. You know, look at the lilies of the field. Look at the sparrows. You know, let me tell you a story about a wayward son. You know, it's like he used object lessons and he used storying. Yeah. And so those are the two things that I try to implement in every Bible lesson that I use. Because really, if you think about it, teaching is really training. And I know that you all can't see me, but if you can visualize for a minute, if you will, a train with a car attached to it. Okay. That is what teaching should be. You have the teacher who is the train engine pulling your students behind you. because you're on this track of life. And we as teachers have experienced experienced Jesus in our way, in our testimony. And then through our teaching, we're pulling students along with us on this journey where we follow mm-hmm. Christ. And, you know, what would happen if that train, you know, just sat there on the tracks and didn't pull the cars anywhere? I mean, that's not the purpose right. of a train. The train is to get the cars from one location to another location. And it's the same thing for us as Bible teachers. You know, we get our students at the beginning of the year, at the beginning of the program, or whatever it might be. And it's our jobs as Bible teachers to pull our students along this journey of learning about Christ, how we take those truths and apply them to our lives. And we get them to go from one location to another location as they mature in Jesus. And that is how we can use object lessons. That's how we can use, the foundational biblical principles that just build upon each other. And here again, that's why I do that mm-hmm. cyclical teaching, that repetitiveness that just builds and builds and builds upon each other, so that we can help these children through our own testimony. Because, you know, if as a Bible teacher, if we're not growing in Christ ourselves, then there's no way that we can really help pull our students along. We've got to be walking the road of Jesus as well and following with our whole hearts. And so if I can just be one voice that just communicates to these Bible teachers that you are important, that what you're doing matters, that you are in this this journey of helping these kids go from one location to another, pull your train, you're training these kids, you're not just some teacher standing at the front of a room talking some boring words out of a book. The Bible is supernatural. And if we're doing our job as Bible teachers, we're setting up an environment where the Holy Spirit can do his work and change hearts. I hope that answered your question. I don't even remember what question you asked.
But you answered the why, and that's good, because I do think people struggle with this. And so, and in fact, the next question I have is why do you think leaders avoid using object lessons? Because I do think there's some people that just, they're scared to try it. They're scared to use them. And so they would rather just lecture or talk or story tell, but not really think about using objects. So why do you think some leaders struggle or avoid using object lessons?
I've had somebody tell me before that they don't use object lessons because they don't believe that they're age appropriate for children, that they're not.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at that, but.
What's that?
I said, I didn't mean to laugh at that, but okay.
I know. And literally I did. I had that person tell me that because, you know, you're asking a child to take some object and in their brain, you know, they're not necessarily mature enough to think some abstract truth, but then connect it to a tangible item. That was her argument.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, well, that's your opinion. But I sit here and I think, you know, kids, we just don't give them enough credit. They're just really smart. And who doesn't like a good object lesson? Like, they're fun. Well, they're just fun.
I was just going to say that while you were talking, all of a sudden I got this picture of, if you remember Bug's Life.
Yeah.
And you remember where he's talking to Dot and he pulls up a rock. And talks about having an idea and the rock and all, you know, and I'm thinking if Pixar thought kids could figure that out, come on.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. So I think, you know, I think part of the reasons why some leaders might, not do them is because they just don't understand the purpose of them. And if you're teaching the way you've always done things, then you might not be as willing to branch out and use a different teaching strategy. But one of the things that I have in my books, after every single object lesson, I have a little area that I like to call a retrospective area, where I lead the teacher into thinking, what went well with this lesson? What can I improve upon? And what can I do different next time I teach this lesson? And there's a space there for the teacher to actually journal and write down these notes. Because I want these teachers, these Bible teachers using my materials, I want them to improve themselves. I think it'd be awesome if those Bible teachers are even better Bible teachers than me. I think that they can do some amazing work in the kingdom. But it might mean that you have to take a hard look at how you teach and change some things that might be hard to change. It's the way that you've always, if it's the way you've always done things, you know, habits are hard to break sometimes, right. But sometimes it's necessary, because we've got to remember that we're training these kids and spreading the gospel and teaching these kids about Jesus. It seems to me, as a Bible teacher, you'd want to do everything you can in your power to do that the best way possible.
So engaging the kids in all of their senses is a powerful tool that God can use.
Yes.
So with your book, and specifically looking at this idea of victory in Jesus, if somebody hasn't seen your books yet, give us a rundown of what they're like. How does a leader use one of your books, you know, to teach a lesson? Can you kind of give us a rundown of what that looks like?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say to start out with, though, it's definitely a book that you can, you know, peruse the title of contents and pick out whatever lesson you want to do. And you can do it that way. That's fine. Mm-hmm. However, they're really written to build upon each other. So start at the first one and then make your way through to the last one, because they really build upon each other. And each lesson has a materials list, and I try to find very simple items or simple science experiments or whatever around the house. Because I know that if, you know, you find this really cool object lesson and it's all stuff that you've got to go out to the store and buy, or it's some weird, strange object that nobody would ever have heard of or have around their house, well, that's not very motivating to do that lesson. So I try to find things that are around the house that people would already have. And then I also have a background section, because here again, they all build upon each other. And that's one thing that I try to get across to my Bible teachers, is that children are not going to understand. They're not really going to understand why Jesus had to come. Everything just builds and builds and builds upon itself. And so I have these background sections that kind of help the teacher set the stage, so to speak, for the object lesson. And then I even write out the object lesson. I give you the questions. I give possible answers that the kids might give. Or if there's a specific answer that you need to have before you move on in your object lesson, then I've given that answer that you can. I really don't like having a Bible lesson where it's just the teacher talking. Definitely we need to do questions, which helps, you know, engaging and interacting. And it gets it, you know, the kids themselves need to have their own Bible open up to the scripture. I give the scripture focus so that you can have kids find it in their Bible, so that they can know that what you're teaching is coming from the Lord. And so there's the background, there's the scripture focus, simple objects around the house. I give you the script if you so want to choose to use that. There's Bible application, which is key, where you help the kids discover why in the world do we need to learn about this event in history in the first place. Yes. And so there's a section of Bible application. And then, like I said before, there's a retrospective area for teachers to really think, what went well, what can I do better, what would I tweak or change for next time? Because one of the things that I really love about the object lessons that I've created is that they can be tweaked and changed for the kids in other churches. You know, you as a Bible teacher know the kids you teach, and they're not the same as the kids I taught. And so you're going to know what backgrounds they're coming from. You're going to know what things that they're dealing with in life. And you can then take that object lesson and make it fit your kids. And so they're flexible that way. And it's just, and so the Old Testament book, you know, is a good foundation for the Victory in Jesus book. And they all kind of build upon each other. And I have to say, one of my favorite lessons is in the Victory in Jesus is the last, I think it's the last lesson in there. And it's when Jesus meets the disciples on the beach after he's resurrected. And it's the whole lesson. It's like it reviews everything from the rest of the entire book. And it just, I just love how the Lord just gave that to me. And it just all just kind of gelled together. And just, I'm sitting here so excited for my kids. You know, light bulbs are going off because it's like, oh, and the kids were getting it, you know, it was good stuff. And it's just so fun and it's interactive. And I think I learn more about Jesus and the scriptures than probably the kids do that I'm teaching.
Yeah, right.
You know, I preparing Bible lessons. The Lord's teaching me, and he's so sweet and so good to teach us and train us so that we can then take the truth he teaches us and our own testimony and how God's working in our own lives so that we can just communicate that to children and say, it's so worth it. It's so worth following Jesus. And if we can communicate that to our kids, oh, we're going to have an amazing church in 20 or 25 years, you know?
Oh, yeah. You know, boy, do we need that.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I wish more people would understand what you and I have come to know, that the more you're involved in kids ministry, actually, the more your faith grows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if I've ever, I mean, everywhere I go, every time I teach, whether I'm speaking at a camp or I'm doing a Bible school program or I'm leading a small group on a Sunday morning, there never fails that God brings up a question in a child's mind, prompts. And I think sometimes that's for my benefit more than the rest of the group's benefit, that a child thinks of a question and asks it. And then we all have to start digging.
Right.
And I remember a small group leader coming to me one time after class and saying, man, I'm really sorry. We didn't get through very many of the questions today because we asked this one question and it sprung off a discussion and we ended up digging in our Bibles and trying to find the answers. And she said, I'm not even sure I found the right answer exactly yet. So I told her, because I'm going to have to dig, I hope that's okay.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, no, you should never do that. No,
I'm like, for real.
I'm like high-fiving her, and I'm like, man, that is so stinking awesome. I'm so glad you didn't make it deep enough. And this was probably one of the best times. She's like, yeah. She said, now I got to go home and dig. And it was so cool. And I think, I think that's the other thing that I've found anyway is a benefit from using books like yours, is because sometimes that object lesson springs deeper questions.
Absolutely.
And even more teaching that can be done. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what your experience is on this too, but like I said, I've done an object lesson and had kids go, wow. Well, then if that's true, then this, and all of a sudden they make these connectors. Like you said, that last lesson of yours, which is pretty cool that, you know, it ties everything all together. Yeah. I mean, I think that's awesome when God gives us those kind of things. That's just,
Yeah. It's good stuff. And if you can get kids excited about scripture, I mean, what could be better than that?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly. That is so awesome. And so obviously, you know, you've got some end goals in this, but what are some of the end goals you have for leaders in this? I mean, besides, like we just mentioned, you're going to grow preparing these object lessons. But what else do you hope that this does for leaders and even the groups that they lead?
I think if we can, I'm speaking as a mom, you know, in this, and then also as a leader at my local church, if we can get kids excited and really wanting to question and read and learn about scripture, if we can get them asking hard questions and thinking through, you know, I really think the church should be the safest place to ask really hard questions. And it's okay as a Bible teacher to say that you don't know the answer. You know, I mean, God doesn't give us all the answers. And if we can, can get kids excited about scripture, excited about prayer, they're going to have, oh, I don't know. It's just, you're going to see kids that are walking the walk of Jesus. They're going to be the light in the darkness, and they're going to have the strength to stand for truth. If we as leaders can help spark that, then that is like, that's my goal. You know, that's the goal for my own kids. If I can have them excited about Jesus, you know, what is it that they say that, you know, you're supposed to fill your cup with the joy, so much so that it splashes out and touches everybody else around you, right?
Right.
So if we can get our kids thinking that way about the Lord, about scripture, about prayer, and about a relationship with Jesus, if they're excited about it, then it's going to be easy for them to go out and tell their friends or invite them to church or, you know, invite them to something or share the gospel. And I think that the benefits are eternal. I think much we get caught up on number of kids in our ministry or number of baptisms or what have you. And really the focus is more eternal than that. And seeing kids walk the walk of Jesus, that to me is the epitome. That's the benefit right there.
Wow. All right. So if people want to get their hands on Victory in Jesus, or if they want to start, you know, and work chronologically, how do they get their hands on some of these books? Where can they go to find them?
Okay. They're definitely on Amazon.com, and they're also on BarnesandNoble.com. You can also get any of my resources, because I have other stuff on there too, not just books, but I have other, some stuff's free and some stuff is just for a couple of dollars. In my own shop at futureflyingsaucers.com, you can go there. I also have a Bible teaching course that I offer, where I really get into the nitty gritty of how I teach. You know, and of course I include object lessons in that, but there's also other things that are involved in teaching that we have to keep in mind as well. So I have that course is also offered on my website, futureflyingsaucers.com. And then, do you want me to go ahead and talk about how I can connect with people too?
That would be perfect. I was just going to ask what if people want to touch base, or if they have questions about this, or they get stuck on something, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
All right. Well, definitely. Cause I love to hear, success stories. I love to hear questions. I love to hear, from my readers. So you can email me at futureflyingsaucers@klopex.com, at klopex.com. That's my email address. I also have a Facebook group, If you search Become an Excellent Bible Teacher, Bible Lessons for Kids, that is my Facebook group. It is filled with some wonderfully awesome Bible teachers all across the world. We are almost at least the time of this recording, we are almost at 1,000 members.
All right.
And I'm just so excited. We pray for each other. We share ideas. We ask questions. We have new believers in there who are trying to teach children. And we have some very seasoned Bible teachers who are great mentors. And it's just a wonderful resource. So that's a Facebook group, Become an Excellent Bible Teacher, Bible Lessons for Kids. You can also find me on Pinterest as Future Flying Saucers. You can find me on Instagram underneath my name, Anne-Marie Gosnell. And I think that's everywhere I am.
Well, and you are in the Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group. So you can find her there in the KMC if
yes.
You need to tag her there. And so if you have any questions or any of that kind of stuff. Hey guys, and Anne-Marie, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to share this with us and to share this resource.
Absolutely, it's been fun.
So hey guys, if you're looking for some fresh teaching ideas, if you know of homeschooling families or you are a homeschooling family and you're looking how to up your Bible teaching game so that you're not just sitting around, you know, I've told this story before. I remember my wife telling me about how as she grew up, her family every night, and this was a good thing, but it just wasn't probably executed in the most child-friendly way. But her family would say, okay, it's Bible reading time. And they would all get out their Bibles and they would all read through the scriptures together. Now that's a great practice and I love that. The problem was, is that I watched, cause I used to go over, before my wife was my wife, her brother was my best friend and we would, he'd invite me over. And so I would get to sit in on family Bible reading night because they didn't compromise. It was happening every night, no matter what. And which was real fun when they got to Song of Solomon.
That's so
a little awkward when you're a young teenage boy and you got a crush on that girl sitting across in the room and her father's sitting right there and he's reading. Yeah. But anyway, but had they gone and taught the Bible more with objects and done some of the fun things in your books, I could just see how my brother-in-law, well, now my brother-in-law and my wife would have engaged his kids a lot more, how I would have even engaged more. So let me just full-heartedly endorse if all I can is to say, hey guys, grab these even for your own personal resource, but something you can use in your church, or definitely get these out to your church families, encourage them to do some discipleship at home. These are great resources to get into hand. So get after it. I'll put some links in the show notes for these as well so that you can get at them on the Podbean website. You can go there and we would love to have you pick up some of Anne-Marie's resources. So Anne-Marie, thanks again for being with me today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, that'll do it for this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. Thanks for listening to the KMC. Thanks for your support. Thanks for sharing this with other people that you know. Thank you if you've left a review. We're still looking for a few more to keep pushing us up the ratings so that we can get the word out more about the KMC. Again, if I can help you in any way, shape, or form, if you're going through some hard stuff, if you're looking for creative Bible teaching things, if you need some coaching, feel free to reach out. I'm here to help you. This is what I do. I love you guys. Thanks for all that you do for the kingdom. Hey, together we are going to have victory in Jesus. So keep fighting the good fight and join me again for another edition of the KMC.
You've been listening to the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. If you'd like to connect with us, we encourage you to join the Kids Ministry Collective Facebook group or contact me on Twitter at PTBump. We'd also love for you to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review for us so that we can help others learn about this podcast.
Our goal of the KMC comes from Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We hope you'll join us again real soon for another KMC podcast.